Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters Spiritual Talk Healing Done Right. Spiritual growth, 12-step indigo meditation, and much, much.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. How's everybody doing out there? I'm going to see if I can design a new intro. That one makes me bounce all over the place. It's a good intro, but we've had that intro for a long time. How's everyone doing? Everything's going real smooth here. I've had my two vaccines. I've had Moderna, and I'm 2 weeks out of the second shot. And so I felt real confident having my grandson spend a couple of days with me. He was dropped off on Wednesday, and he's my test visit. He came to help me do some things. He helped me take some boxes to the dumpster and go grocery shopping and wash the car. Well, we didn't get around to wash the car, but we did a whole lot of other things. Like, I have this mirror that starts right at the counter in my bathroom and goes all the way up to practically the ceiling. And I wasn't about to get up there and wash the mirror. I'm a little bit rickety for that. So he came and he did some much needed things around the house for me. He vacuumed everywhere and he vacuumed out my air purifiers. And yeah, it's been a real, real great treat. You know, we really enjoyed going to the laundromat. I have all these comforters that need to be washed to be put away for spring and summer. And it was nice having company. He's the first actual company that's been in the apartment with me in the last 15 months. I've had no visitors, just me. And so that stuff can get old even for an introvert. So I'm looking forward to today's show. We're going to have Fabio on in a couple of minutes. She's going to do her thing. She's going to be talking about reparations and what's going on with that. And then we'll have probably later on at the end of the show, we'll have some spirit talk or revelation or some notes from the universe. I have a note from the universe for all of you out there. The universe wants to know or ask you, what if it was true that you make your own reality and that your thoughts became the things and events of your life? What will you do differently in the next 5 minutes, in the next 5 days? Very interesting thought for you to ponder. I had a spiritual chat with one of my spiritual friends, Bonita Woods. I told you all about her before. She just gave me some spiritual insight on things going on in my world, or spiritually, you know, the spiritual vibration all around me and what kind of stuff I was beginning to create in my own reality. And it works out really well when you can sit back and talk to someone that can give you some insight on what it is you're doing, where you're going, and how you can change your thoughts ever so slightly to create a vibrational change in your environment and in your life and as things go forward for you. So with that said, I'm going to see if Fabio's out there and open up her mic and see what's going on with her, find out what she's been doing for the last past a couple of weeks since she's been on, and let her know that she had a wonderful response to her last show. And so we're looking forward to hearing what she has to say today. So let's see what Fabio has going for her and bring her on and open up her mic and say, Alafia.
Say, Alafia Nee, how are you?
I'm good. How come you don't sound like Fabio?
How does Fabio sound? Oh, my goodness. It could be because I have my my phone on speaker. Let's see. Let's see if it changes if I take it off speaker.
No, you're fine.
Okay, okay.
You're coming through real nice, so don't worry about it, you know.
Okay, good, good.
Okay.
I'm sorry, you said what?
Let me see if I can turn down some of this background music, or would you like me to keep the ambiance going to you?
I like that little, vibe you have set up here. That works for me. Thank you.
Okay, well, that's your vibe. So, what you got for us today? What you been doing and how you been the last couple of days? And we won't get too wordy and lengthy in that because you know you and I can do that.
Because I know a lot of
what you got to say, but what's been going on with you? Have you been vaccinated yet, or are you one of those persons that want to wait and see?
First of all, we received directives in our tradition that everyone should be vaccinated.
Ooh.
And do some other offerings or what have you. So, I still have to do my offerings, but everyone in our household has received our second dose of the vaccination. So we are fully vaccinated. We've had our 2 weeks, we've done our thing, and we're good to go. And a lot of people were saying to me before, like some people who had decided not to take the vaccine for whatever reason, I'm letting people be and do and walk the path of their destiny as they see it fit. But one of the things that I found interesting was back last year before they had an opportunity to tell us what they even knew we were fully dealing with, I divined to myself that morning, prayers every so many days, we touch in with Oracle. And in the divination, the odoo that fell or the story that was talking about the situation of what was going on with me at that time spoke about how I needed to make an offering to the deities at my shrines in order to protect me from some unknown disease that has the ability to affect me through the 7 openings of my body.
Right.
And so I was like, what? Okay. Well, and that was before they were making the determination that you also needed to protect your eyes and all this other stuff. And I was like, wow, this is deep. Whatever this is, it's not just coughing or breathing, respiratory, right? It's talking about the need to protect all of the openings of your body that it can actually infect you through. So I said, okay. So I knew it was real because it was talking about the illness in my divination. It was deep. Anyway, so I took the shot. And the other thing is that I had something really interesting happen to me, and I want to explore this our next conversation, our next month. But I went looking for flooring for my house. I had to make some repairs on the floor, and I decided that I was going to use ash, right? So this, I go to the guy who has milled this ash. I've never met him before, whatever. And when I meet him, this man is almost 7 feet tall. He makes us look like little bitty. He makes us look like little bitty ants or children next to him, right? And so he gets the wood for me and everything. And in the process, he's like, you are the one that I've been corresponding with via email, right? And I was like, yes. He was like, now, how do you pronounce your name? And I say, it's Ifabayo. He was like, huh. Now, spell that for me. And I said, Ifabayo. I spell it. And he was like, wow, I know some people by the name of Ifa. And I said, really? Where are they from? Thinking he's going to say either Nigeria or maybe the States somewhere, like in the Carolinas or something like that. He said, no. This Ifa is Gaelic.
Oh.
And I'm like, what? And he said, yes, it's Gaelic. He said, but it's spelled A-I-F-O-E. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, I don't know how they get Ifa out of that, but it's Gaelic, and it made me think about this whole thing about Black Irish and the situation around that and how they say they aren't really Black Irish. There were no Black Irish, but St. Valentine and all of that other stuff that happened when he massacred all of the indigenous Irish people there, and where they also pronounced the name the same way. It's spelled the same way for Ifa. It was just deep in one of the African countries. We'll talk about that later, but anyway.
Yeah, okay. Before I let you loose on reparations, which vaccine did you get?
Moderna.
Okay. You said that like it was necessary for it to be that one.
Well, first of all, I don't want no Johnson & Johnson.
Okay.
Because Johnson & Johnson historically worked on the with the Germans to create the chemicals. It was a whole group of them who helped exterminate the Jewish people. So, no, I don't want no Johnson & Johnson. So.
Every time I talk to you about something, it takes you off in a different direction, and you got a whole history of something. I just can't trust you, leave you alone out there, because you all up for the play.
No, I'm telling you the truth. I mean, you know.
I understand. So Talk to me about reparations. And the USDA program for Black farmers and the community of Oak Park in Illinois. Talk to us.
Right. Well, here lately, it kind of started as a passing conversation at the municipality where I work. And I'm in a particular department. So someone from another department, from the development department, came to visit me in the assessor's office, right?
Yeah.
And so in that process, we were having a conversation, and he said, well, you know, they've been talking about, I said, oh, he was like, well, we don't want to just give out this land to people in the community because we want to make sure basically they control how they get the land and what they do with it. And I said, how are you going to consider that? Why would you even say something like that to me? I said, here, I don't care what you do. You can consider it as reparations, right?
No.
And so he was like, oh, no. Reparations, that's a hot button topic, and people don't like for you to talk about reparations to, you know, people, and it's really sticky, and it's not popular, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know what? I don't care what you call it. You could call it 400 years of sinful labor with 400 years of compounded interest.
Mm-hmm.
And don't tell me you don't know the number, because you all work out numbers very well as long as it's in relationship to you. But you already have it in the records that you were counting us as three-fifths of a person. So why don't you go back and say, do the calculation to find out what number is represented by this number, which is three-fifths of that number, okay? I know it's possible. And then work up 400 years of theft of labor based on how much people should have been paid and what have you, and then compounded with 400 years of interest, so you understand just how much you owe people of color in this world, right?
Yeah.
So he was like, haha, he found that funny, you know, and he kind of left the office, and I was like, haha. But that made me really feel a certain kind of way and start to think about this process of reparations, because, you know, first of all, I want us to kind of look at what the definition of it is. And I looked at the Oxford Dictionary, and they said that it is the making of amends for a wrong one has done by paying money to or otherwise helping those who have been wronged, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now we're gonna come back to that word amends in a little bit, right?
Yeah,
because we had this conversation.
I knew you were gonna bring up amends.
I didn't bring that up. That was the Oxford Dictionary. Okay, so I said We're going to come back to this word amends in a little bit, but what I first want to say is, how dare you tell me that it's a hot-button issue and a hot-button topic, especially since back in 1862, Abraham Lincoln signed a proclamation that will allow people who own slaves, slave owners, to be paid for the slaves that they freed at about $300 a piece for each slave they had. Now, how are you going to pay white slave owners for reparations? Never think about giving anything to the slaves.
Can I ask you a question?
Go on.
Throughout your talk, your discussion, mm-hmm. your platform, do
yes.
you want to answer questions at the end of everything, or would you like to be interrupted periodically to take a question or two?
Let's see. I never thought of that. I just thought, well, you throw it out like this now. You're supposed to ask me before, and then I'd be like, okay, yeah.
I know. Well, the reason why I'm asking you now, because it looks like somebody has a question.
Okay.
And I would say that questions should be answered after you give your talk. What do you feel?
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. Sounds
okay,
good.
So the individual who has a question are going to have to wait.
Okay. Sounds good.
Go ahead.
So,
I'm sorry.
That's okay. So what was confounding to me was that someone would have the audacity to say that to me after I found out that they did make reparations to white slave owners. Right. And in that, I want us to also back up and kind of clear up a myth that surrounds Abraham Lincoln in regards to him being the president that freed the slaves, okay? He didn't free the slaves. He strategically used that as a tool of being able to maintain the wholeness of the Union.
Right, United States of America. They would not have won if he hadn't freed the slaves.
Exactly. Okay. And mm-hmm. and the other kicker to that is that in the Emancipation Proclamation, he only freed the slaves in the states that actually took up arms to secede from the Union. He didn't free any of the other slaves of the surrounding southern communities or what have you, okay, who were probably pumping money into the war effort. So they didn't get their freedom, you know. So I want us to clear that up and stop being like, oh, Abraham Lincoln, yeah, he was the president for, he himself said that he would not have freed the slaves if he was not forced to do so. But what ended up getting him killed, I believe, was the fact that he said he wanted us to have our own land and our own space because he did not believe that those who had been enslaved could live amongst their captors in peace, which
right.
was proven. We've had 400 years of this kind of experiment to show that what he believed was actually true, right? So when I think about all of these things, I think about the fact that in the definition of reparations in and of itself, it talks about making amends. Now, I've been having a very interesting conversation with other people in terms of the United States and how it has dealt with its people of color. And what I've come to understand very clearly and what I know to be the truth is that racism is not the problem of people of color. Racism is the problem of a white construct and the dominant culture. because if they had worked on their issues and gotten themselves together, we would not be suffering under them today, okay? Because there's something internal that's going on with them about why it is that they even need to oppress another person in order to feel better about themselves.
Right.
Okay? So when I began thinking about this nature of amends, I said, okay, well, you have America that basically sits on three major sins as I can see it. The first sin is the fact that they weaponize a culture's compassion against them. And then they use this weaponized compassion, the second sin, to destroy, perpetuate genocide, and to steal land. And then the third one is that they, in fact, stole black bodies to work stolen, ill-gotten land in order to build the wealth that they currently have. So it's not just about restorative justice, because how can you restore a person to a sense of wholeness? Money can never do that. Money could never do that. Money can never make up for the lost lives that we continue to lose every single day and the future that they may have represented. It cannot make up for the torture and the horrendous brutality that our ancestors had to endure, and therefore continue to pass that information on to us through our DNA. It can't make up for that. It can't make up for them never honoring any of the treaties that they had with Native Americans. It can't make up for that. You know what I mean? And really, when you begin to think about reparations, I think you also have to think about restorative justice, in which you look at it, in which victims help to determine what they need from the larger society in order to feel more of a sense of wholeness. And because you can't just throw money at a whole bunch of people who've been ill all this time and expecting them to be able to sustain themselves in the way that they perhaps would have been able to if the natural course of events had continued to play out in our country, you know, without being interrupted, like Tulsa, Oklahoma, for instance, the destruction of Rosewood. You understand what I'm saying? Even recently, the bombing of the moon in Philadelphia. You understand what I'm saying? So if you look at all of these things, they have to kind of be looked at in the context of what's going on with us in America and how it is we are going to even try to begin that process, if it is even possible. Because I don't know if it's possible for a culture to make amends. That means you're going to, like you tell me, do the work that you need to do so that these things that happen never happen again. How are you going to make an amends as long as your livelihood depends on the cannibalization of people of color bodies? And what I want to say as an aside, it just wasn't people of color, black people, African Americans who were descendants of slaves. What is not being acknowledged here is that a lot of white people were also descendants of slaves, because they were brought over as indentured servants and their contracts could be extended for as ever long as they needed to have those contracts extended. But what they were able to do was to run away and then blend into the greater society, right? And then
okay,
have to continue
play.
To
I gotta play Dutch's advocate here.
Okay.
Now we're talking about stuff that happened in the physical world, our physicality, and what's happening on things that are historical that we can see, where a lot of this stuff is being played out or have been played out in the physical arena, in the physical realm. before we even got to physicality. It's like, you know, we got soul groups that have missions to do certain things as spiritual energy coming forth to be born into physicality.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, like, well, we can blame people in leadership on a physical level, what they have done or what they're not doing or how they're doing stuff. But some people may very well feel that all of that stuff happened as a result of soul-to-soul contracts saying that this is what's going to happen and we're going to do this when we meet each other on the physical plane.
Right, absolutely. Right. I'm not saying the soul contracts aren't in place, but go with it.
So we can go ahead and we can be upset all we want to about stuff the way they played out in physicality, and we can stress ourselves out to no end watching the way stuff is playing out in physicality. But if we don't give recognition to the plans and the soul contracts that were made before they came forth into the physical plane, then are we not stressing ourselves out? You know?
No. Listen.
Okay, go for it.
I'm sorry. Listen. Hitler made a soul contract to be just who he was.
Absolutely. So did everybody else.
Right. And everybody else made a soul contract to stop him.
Right. Or to stand idly by and watch it happen.
That's right. So, what is your soul contract? I know what mine is because it has always been with me as I rode through this thing. Mm-hmm. When I was a little kid, I knew what my soul contract was. When I was a teenager, I knew what my soul contract was. As I became a priest, I knew what my soul contract was. And as I go through this second Saturn return, I am reminded of what my soul contract is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can determine, because eventually what it is just life. See, in my tradition, we don't have hell.
Right.
The testing ground, or what some people may consider hell, is earth. And you either become enlightened or you come back here. Okay. You fulfill what your contract was in heaven or you come back here.
Right.
And sometimes what your contract in heaven was is to be in direct opposition of what someone else's soul contract is so that they can become what they need to in order to do the work that they need to in the community.
Okay.
Or not. Right? So I am very much aware that all of the things, this is like spiritual warfare. You have to understand what it is you're looking at and what it is, because all of us were born to be exactly who. When I came here, I was already a priest. My stay just was not consecrated. And they'll tell you, when they saw me walking down, they said, that's a little priest right there. When they would talk to me, they said, that's a little priest. I was already what they would say. They say our woes are kings. I was already a king. I had my entourages with me wherever I went. I didn't recognize it. Elders recognized it. Who we are is who we are when we get here. And it is all of our egbe, or the family, our clan, that helps us become what we need to become in order to do whatever it is we need to do before we make our transition to fulfill our destiny. Because if we don't fulfill the role and the promises we made, the supreme creative forces make sure we get an opportunity to do it by coming back here. Okay. You're going to do it one way or another. That's how I tell people. You can do it walking. You can do it dancing. You can do it being drug. Huh? You can do it crying. You can do it begging. But you're going to do it, okay? You just got to determine how it is it's going to be for you. Right? So when we begin to look at reparations, I think we have to look at it at all these different levels, right? Because one of the priests I talked to when I was younger, he said to me, and I really didn't understand it just until recently, he said, I see you. You gotta ask why you're here. Why you're here in America, not here on the planet. Why you're here in America? Because you have a very ancient soul, and they called your soul straight back from Africa to be over here. And the people that you interact with, they don't really understand what you're talking about because their souls have been too damaged by slavery. No one really understood what was going to happen to them when they signed up for that soul agreement. And their DNA, although you're talking to them about principles that are very much a part of who it is that they are in terms of their DNA, their DNA has been damaged. And so I thought that was very interesting because he told me that 25, 30 years ago, before they started talking about really how trauma changes your DNA.
That's true.
And so I was like, wow, look at this. This is how deep our ancestors were. And people didn't even understand it, the work they were doing. All right? So when we start talking about reparations, I believe we're going to have a deeper, more holistically referenced conversation in terms of what it is that we are seeking. You know?
If they don't understand it, the people we're talking to, you
right.
know, I mean, like you say, our issues are in our tissues.
Right.
And
right.
most of us in recovery know this, right?
Right.
Our issues are in our tissues. And you have a lot of people that may not have even entered into the realm of being addicted to chemical addiction. But
right.
there are people who are addicted to drama. There are people who
are suffering.
Yeah, or addicted to, you know, just causing pain to other people just by talking nasty
right.
to people. That's
right.
an addiction that they have. And their issues are in their tissues as well. They're going to have to pay for it.
My mother used to say, we all have to give an account in the end.
Absolutely.
What will it look like?
I don't know. I'm going to tell you.
I don't know either. But I know your mother, she must have did a lot of accounting because she moved so quickly. Boom. She was as light as a feather. See, people don't even understand. They're like, how come some people take so long to transition and some people take go real quick and some people do this or that? I said, because those people are light as a feather. You know, the comedic tradition used to talk about the scales when you go to heaven, right, and one is a feather and you have to be light as a feather before you can pass.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about what things are you carrying in terms of regret, guilt, remorse. Are you light as a feather? Your mother was like, boom, she ascended. She was light as a feather.
Didn't she go fast? She just sat down, closed her eyes. And
she
like,
sat down to pray and was gone. That is light as a feather. She didn't have to sit in her bed and talk about, I'm sorry for this, and I wish I had done that, and why didn't I spend more time with this? No. She was as light as a feather.
I'm not trying to take your show away from you, but I've been told many, many, many times by spiritual advisors over and over again, just recently, last Friday, this is my last walk. I'm not here to work on any stuff of my own. I'm not here to work on my own SHIT.
Right.
I'm here to be an assistant to those who have their own stuff to work through. And when they bounce out of way, they have some comeuppance if they don't come to me correctly.
That's right.
And
what,
I can see this. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, you have a Scorpio rising. Everybody out there, if you got a Scorpio rising, whenever you enter anyone's life, you have come to collect a debt. And if they don't pay, the universe will take care of it. Okay? Yes.
So I'm not here to work out no stuff of my own. And it was amazing that when I became a Muslim, I did not know all of this about myself, but when I became a Muslim, my Islamic name is Zahira. And Zahira means the supportive one. And I used to say to my mother all the time, Mom, my name is Zahira, the supportive one. Madiun is one who bears witness that there is no God but. You know what I'm saying? Mm. I said, so who helps the supportive one when the supportive one needs help?
God.
Because I have a lot of, absolutely, she said it all the time. You're alone. You know, she said it all the time. You know, although you want that human figure to put your head on their shoulder and cry, you know, I used to say that to her all the time. Well, don't God know that I need a human to put my head on it? But she was right, you know? That's who helps the supportive one. But so many people, when you are a supportive one, they want to use you.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. But you know what God calls us all? Tools. T-O-O-L-S. And that means that we are here to be utilized but not used.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Yeah,
and right, utilized but not used. Okay. My sister taught me that one a long time ago. And so when we come into each other's lives, we are the tools that God has sent, you know. And so it was like I listened to this song by Bobby Womack. That's my guy. And he was like, you know, basically telling his woman, he was like, you don't know why I'm here. God may have sent me here. But really, it's the truth. We've made these heavenly contracts with each other.
Fabio, you know what you just said?
What?
You know all the nasty people on the face of this earth don't realize that the people they're standing in front of being nasty to, God may have sent that person to you.
Exactly.
And you don't even recognize it.
No. But how many?
Right.
No, go on. You're so egotistical.
You're so egotistical in your presentation of who you are that you can't even see the blessing in front of your face.
Right. This is why judgment is a sin, because you cannot see what it blocks you from seeing God's face through others, right? Because God doesn't just clap, you know. In Christianity, it's like boom, the sky parted, God spoke. No, God speaks through people. We are his tools, and we are its tools and instruments. So, no, none of that, you know. And people used to always say, and I've gotten so far off my square that I must move back onto it. But when I was younger, people used to always say, why are you so nice to people? I'd say, because you know what? My father was wet nursed by the woman up the street for the first 6 months of his life back in 1917. And I don't know who that woman is, and I never know who any of these descendants, and none of, any of these people could be the descendants of that woman who was responsible for saving my father's life so I could be here today.
Mm-hmm.
I never know. You never know when someone is doing God's work for you. You never know.
No, you don't.
It behooves us to treat each other with that kind of respect and integrity.
Yeah.
But that's my spiel. So I'm asking people to start thinking about what type of reparations they would want to see.
Right.
Because it's got to be more than money.
That's true.
You know, because what was stolen from us just wasn't money, it was our legacy. You got to understand how that can manifest differently.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm at.
So go back to the USDA program for black farmers. I think it's so far off track.
So there are a number of programs that are coming up. One of them is the USDA program for black farmers, in which they will grant you up to as much as 140 acres of land. So people, for all of you all out there that want a black town, we need to go and get together and each of us get 140 acres and have those streets named after. Go up to Allen Street, take a left at Mattyoon, you know what I mean? And go on down to Olumide Day. That is where you will find your house's clan or your clan's house.
Yeah.
So, but we also must recognize, I think it is very imperative that African Americans recognize that our solidarity must be linked to Native Americans as well. Because we are still on their land. Even when they give us the land that they say that we are entitled to, that the USDA disrupted us being able to hold on to, it was a transfer of wealth, basically. There were a lot of policies put in place by our own government to ensure that we would remain disenfranchised and second-class citizens. And one of those things had to do with the fact that the USDA never gave loans or money to black farmers in order for them to be able to sustain themselves in the same way that they gave them to white farmers. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, they took it upon themselves to institute these policies that would ensure that black farmers would lose their land. And so in recognition of the fact that these policies that have been going on for generations eroded how much land black farmers actually owned in the state, we had like something like enough land to cover Mississippi, both the Carolinas, Alabama, Tennessee. We had a lot of land. Okay, in terms of the southern states. And because they disenfranchised us, we represent 1% of 1% of the landowners, I think, currently in the United States. So that was a big transfer of wealth because, as you know, Mother Nature ain't making no more land. And we could have been somewhere entirely different if we were able to kind of self-govern who it is that we are in relationship to ourselves. So go on the USDA, look up reparations for black farmers, black land, whatever, and see what they have to say. Google that.
Okay.
But keep in mind that we should be working with Native Americans in terms of their sovereignty, because this was originally their land, right?
Right.
And the other thing is that they have a number of programs like in Naperville, that each of these different little towns and villages are starting reparation programs that help people own homes. For instance, in Oak Park in Chicago, which is a It's a suburb of Chicago. They have a program where they will grant you so much money as a down payment towards a house. I think it's only $10,000. Quite frankly, I believe if you're a color and your descendants are slaves, you should not ever have to pay for a house. And Oak Park, $10,000, although it's better than nothing, $10,000 for a home in Oak Park, those homes are in upwards of, you know, $750,000 to $1.5 million.
Wow. Well, then it should be $10,000 per person in your family.
Right. Well, no, this is how I feel. It should be at least 10%.
I know how you feel.
It should be free, but it should at least be 10%. At least 10%.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So that, you know, those are some of the programs, but I invite people to come back and share some of the ones that they may have found out for themselves, too. With us.
Absolutely. So you ready to answer a question or two?
Yeah.
You may have already answered the question, you know, because this hand has been up here for a while. I can open it up. You ready to open it up for questions? Hopefully you've written them down. And if you haven't, or if you said goodbye, then we are so sorry. But let's see. I see an area code 404. They have a question.
Atlanta.
Sounds like to me, it looks like. Hopefully. Hi, Atlanta. Area code 404. This is Duchess and Aoife Bio. We're opening it up for questions. Do you have a question? Area code 404. Maybe they've changed their mind.
Okay.
And the other two, they have taken their question mark down.
Okay.
Sounds, you know, we open it up for questions. And that could have been a mistake, you know. Sometimes they press that one, and it's a mistake. Especially since it was so early on in your talk.
Right.
So, we still got time. What you want to bite on?
Ooh, look. There's so much happening. There is this. Whoa.
You're supposed to go back to the amendment.
You said what? Oh, back to the amendment. How can they be an amendment? I want to understand how there can be an amendment. You know, and how long they expect for us to wait. I think this is where I'm at with it, that the amends must come from us, that we have to determine that we will not allow these things to happen to us anymore or to the descendants of, or any of our other descendants anymore.
Wow,
and then we have to figure out what work we must do in order to help ensure that that is the case.
Wow, I don't know if I like that. You put the immense burden right back on top of the persons who have been unjustly treated. And I understand what you're saying. We owe the amends because we allow this stuff to happen.
And not just that. How do you get an amends from a person who relies on your destruction as a way of being able to continue to sustain themselves? Can an amends ever be made? And if it cannot, based on those circumstances, why do you continue to ask for it? It then becomes the responsibility of ourselves to make sure we take care of who we are. Because obviously they cannot.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that we're not owed one. I believe it. We're owed more than what could ever be paid in this lifetime because my lifetime, I'm just a descendant of my ancestors. I represent them. But yet and still, they're not here to give their own forgiveness. I can't give forgiveness for others.
Right.
So anyway, I'm like, what we gonna do, y'all? 140 acres each. It takes what is it? 1,000 acres to make 1 square mile. 1 square mile can be utilized in order to incorporate a town or a village. So, hey, what is that, 10 people? What are we going to do, y'all? I know what I'm working on doing.
Questions out there. Yeah. Yeah, I got a little bit of an insight into you. Congratulations.
You already know what I'm doing.
Yeah, congratulations on your most recent endeavor and success.
Oh, thank you. I'm still working on it. You'll see me if it works out.
Okay. Coming down here to visit me.
Exactly. No.
Okay. I got a parking spot for you, too. Big one.
Good. That'll work.
Well.
So, with that being said, what's happening?
You can close for tonight.
Okay.
Okay, let me see. I think I should get my book and read an affirmation. Come on, Sabaya, give me a thought. Give me a thought. Think of something so I can get an oracle card.
Destiny is about joy.
Well, let's see what the fairies have to say about that. I enjoyed this with you.
I enjoyed you too. Very much.
I can't wait until your next go round.
Yeah, we can have that conversation about how Ifa is all over the place.
Well, first you got to define Ifa to the audience.
Of course.
No, I mean now, so that they'll know they want to come back and listen to it.
Oh, okay. Well, Ifa is the traditional African religious practice, primarily that comes out of West Africa. And it is based on a religious text that allows us to be able to conceptualize the world based on 16 major archetypes, and out of those 16 major archetypes, we extrapolate to get 240 additional major archetypes, which create 256 archetypes in terms of people and personalities and situations and how they've moved through the world. So we kind of understand how everyone else is going to move through the world based on that and how to
go ahead.
And how it is that we can be healed when we're not as whole as we need to be, and corrected spiritually based on what the instruction of those archetypes give us.
Okay. Well, now I can see why you say that Ifa is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, exactly. Just that, I want to say thank you so much for being with us today. I enjoyed it. And the angels have a message before we close out. And I opened up their little message book, and it says, patience, please. What you're asking for is coming about. Have patience, as there are unseen factors that need to occur first. The fairies manifest desires instantly. Whatever they think about occurs immediately. So they understand why you may feel impatient when your prayers aren't answered right away. This card is reassuring you that your desires are being worked on, and they're being worked on behind the scenes. Although you may not perceive those results at present, trust that things are moving in the right direction. You'll soon see and experience your desired outcome. Some additional meanings for this card are: heaven, it has heard you and is working on your prayers. What you're looking for is nearly at hand. You'll receive the money you need. Keep the faith, stay positive, and continue affirming and praying. Your relationship with your soulmate will soon manifest. And wait before making a move on the topic you're asking about. Go for bio. Sounds like it's right on time, you know, for reparations, amends, and that's 140 acres.
I hope so.
Okay. You stay blessed, and I'll talk to you soon.
You too.
Okay.
All right, then. Take care.
Ozabo.
Ozabo.
Thank you.